Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities, Louisiana, with Ms. Carla. But before we continue the show, what I want to do, I want to introduce you to your host, Ms. Carla. And Ms. Carla, go ahead on.
Hello, hello, hello. It's another beautiful Saturday. I am so glad to be back in the state of Louisiana. Y'all know I took a little break, but here I am. I have a beautiful, amazing young lady by the name of Miss Shakina. Did I get it right, Miss Al Robinson?
Yes, ma'am, you sure did.
Shakina. Yes, she is from Alabama, and she and I, it's definitely a divine connection from God where she just came from nowhere. I was like, who is this young lady? So I started talking to her, and I had to have her on the show. So without further ado, here is Miss Shakina Robinson. Miss Robinson, thank you so very much for being on our show today. And why don't you tell our listeners, who is Ms. Shakina Robinson?
Well, first I want to say thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to be on the show. I'm very grateful to you and John. And right now, Shakina Robinson is working on something that is going to be uplifting to women, and it's really turning into men too. So I have a website that's called Chic Virtue, and Chic Virtue is really a place for women of God to be able to go and get business tips, career advice, wisdom, advice, recipes. We have a blog. There's a forum. And we also have a magazine. So anyone who wants to start a business, you know how important marketing is. And so I have attached a social media marketing magazine to it full of tons of articles from Forbes magazine to Times magazine where you dig in and kind of go to college to get your mind right for the business that you want to have. But we're very focused on keeping God first. So we make sure that we share wisdom.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear you. No, I said giving back to the community. But let's go back. Let's go back a couple of years, Miss Shakina. And you said we can call you Miss Kina. Did I get it right again?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
if you knew like me personally, you'd be like, oh, Miss Carla, you're doing so great with my name. It's such a beautiful name. Let's go back a couple of years. Let's go back to when you was 14 years old? And you're 14, or no, I think it was 15 I read in your bio, 15 years old, and up until now. Tell us your story. How did you survive and make it?
The grace of God has truly preserved me. At the age of 15 years old, I moved out of my mother's house. It was a very dysfunctional household. I do know that my mother loves me, and I love her. But she had me when she was 15 years old. And my father was killed when I was 6 months right in front of her. And he was holding me in his arms when a man came into our home and took his life. And that really damaged my mother, along with the abuse that she had experienced before that. So growing up, my mom didn't really know how to love me. You know, they say that hurt people, and that is very true.
Right.
And so I grew up thinking that my mother hated me because she never had a good word for me. You know, I was always stupid or dumb, and, she would always tell me that I wasn't going to be anything, that I was never going to be anyone, that I would only grow up to have a house full of kids. And I was a very mild-mannered kid, so I never disrespected my mother because I've always had enough respect for her not to do that. But in my mind, I never accepted the words that she spoke over me. And it was when I was 15 years old that I knew that I had to leave before she broke me. And I did.
Yes.
So I packed up all my little belongings and I left. And I didn't know where I was going to go. There were some nights when I had to sleep out on the street. There were many nights when I didn't know what I was going to eat. There were nights when I was hanging out with grown men that were pulling guns out on me and my friends because we needed a roof over our head. But even
in
everything
that
I...
What city? I'm sorry. What city is this?
This is in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yes.
So I was in Colorado at the time.
Well, that's what I like to say, my hometown. I'm from Appaloosa, Louisiana, but that's where I went here, Colorado Springs.
It is such a beautiful place.
It is
such a beautiful place.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, it's okay. And so when I left, I was confused. I didn't really have any confidence. I didn't really know what to do, but I was trying to figure it out. And I've experienced a lot of ups and downs because I really had to raise myself. You know, I was out and there was no protection. There was no parents. There was no siblings. But it was the grace of God that allowed me to always be around people who looked out for me, who made sure that I wasn't devoured. And I, along the way, I mean, I have been homeless on multiple occasions to the point to where I would really travel that way. I would pick a brand new place that I wanted to start over, and if I didn't know anyone, I would go on Career Builder. My trade is sales, marketing, and leadership, and you can always find a job if you have those traits.
Yes.
So I would go on Career Builder, submit my resumes, and line up interviews before I would go. I would get up the money to get a bus ticket. I would call a homeless shelter to see if they had a bed available. And when they had beds available, I would go and stay at that shelter for free for about a month or two, save all my money, and then get a place. And
so
I did that across the United States.
For how many years? From 15 years old to what age? How many years did you do that?
The last time that I was at a homeless shelter, I was 23 years old. So
what?
From 15 to 23. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Only the grace of God, by the grace of God, that you were saved and protected.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
When
did
things turn around for you?
It was actually 2012 when things completely turned around for me. It was 2012, and it was God. You see, I was back in Cleveland, Ohio in 2012. I didn't graduate from high school, and I was still able to make good money. I was working with people that had degrees, and everybody assumed that I had a degree because I learned very early that I had to learn how to market myself because I didn't have an education. So I couldn't afford for people to question whether I had an education. So I worked very hard. But at one point I realized, okay, I want to do more. I need to go to school, and they're not going to let me go to school unless I get a GED. So I went back to Cleveland to take that test. And it was 2009.
Okay.
I am 32 in 2017, so that math.
I get it.
But I began to attend a church in Cleveland. I really wanted to be in the will of God because I was tired of trying to do things my way, and it just wouldn't last. You know, I would have success and then I wouldn't, and I was just really tired of that. And I remember I attended a service on New Year's Eve 2012 in Cleveland, Ohio, and the Bishop Dixon, I will never forget him, powerful man of God. At the end of service, he was praying for people. Everybody was standing in a line, and everybody was falling out on the ground. Now, don't get me wrong.
What's wrong with them? What's going on?
Yeah, I was so confused. I was literally sitting in church like, Lord, if this is of you, please help me to receive it. But if it's not of you, then show me. I was scared. I was like, I don't want to accept something that's not of you, but I don't want to reject you. So tell me what to do.
They're passing out.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard of things like that happening before, but I've never witnessed it, you know. And I've also been at churches where the pastors want to push you down, like when they apply the pressure to your head.
Get on the floor.
I'm not for that. No, we're not going to be tricking the people. Don't do that.
Right.
Why are you
touching my forehead? I'm not feeling it. Why am I standing
right
here? It's not working.
Right. Right,
I'm
girl.
Sorry.
Right.
Okay. So at 15 years old, you were in the beautiful city of Colorado Springs, Colorado. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but Colorado, you know, the state of Colorado has a high ratio number of kidnapping and everything. So for you to survive that at 15 is amazing, especially with all the mountains and, you know, having so many places where they can hide from one. And that's just that part of it. Because needless to say, you know, like I said before, I lived there for years. And encountered anything, you know, like that. But I was always very cautious of where I was at. And then so from 15 to 19 years old, you were a traveler. You were from city to city. And yeah. From 19 to 23, you decided, okay, it's time for me to get a job. I'm tired of going to homeless shelters. And I feel as though that's God talking. I felt like he was you, and he was telling you, listen, you need to, there's some, baby, I have something better for you, but I got
yeah.
you. I got you.
Yeah.
And 23 years old, GED, marketing
yeah.
job. So now you're right there back on the streets, but now you're on the streets giving people opportunities. Is that correct?
At 23 was when I received my emotional breakthrough, which is what led me to where I am now, because I was unaware how much bondage that I was in because of the life that I lived. I was always ambitious, and I actually got my first job when I was 15. I've been working since 15. I've always been a person that needed to get it done, but it was just the consistency and being able to build. But I was holding so much baggage. I was so broken on the inside that I was emotionally unstable. I didn't know if I was coming or I was going. One moment I was ecstatic, and the next moment I didn't want to get out of bed. And that's how I lived my life. That's how I was most of my life, and I didn't know how to not be that way. But on that service day, when the bishop prophesied to me, he said that God was going to renew me and heal me emotionally. And he went on to say some other things, and he reached his hand towards me. He did not touch me. He just reached his hands towards me, and I fell. I felt as light as a feather, never felt myself hit the ground. But I knew that God was going to do the thing that man told me he would do. 2 weeks later, I found myself moving back to Colorado, which is the place I said I would never go. All the traveling that I did was, in a sense, to never have to go back there because there are so many hurtful memories.
Oh, my God.
I was being stubborn in a sense, but when you say that you want to be in God's will, when you decide that you want to be obedient to God, it's no longer about how you feel. It's
That's
no longer.
Right.
And so
That's
I went.
Right.
I was like, Lord, you know this is not where I want to be, but Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. So I went, and there was like a spirit of a church that was calling me. God was in that place. It was like holy ground. Every time I went, I took off my shoes because God met me in that place, and that's where I received my breakthrough. But that's also where I met my husband. You see, me and my husband went to the same church for a year, never really paid attention to each other. And
so you didn't see him, and I'm sorry, you didn't see him, and he didn't see you, and like, hey, oh, my God, it's my man, you're my boo.
Yeah, not like that. Like we've seen each other. It was a small church. I would say about 50 people, but at any given time, it would be about 20 or 30 there on a Sunday. So we would say hello and hug each other at hug time. But we would go on about our business. You see, I was there for God, and he was there for God. My husband is a worshiper. I am a worshiper. So we were not going to church to play. It wasn't playtime. We needed something from God. And so we didn't pay attention to the people that were around us. But it's like when I received my breakthrough, when I felt that release, when I knew that God had healed me, when I got my confidence back, when I felt free, when I felt liberated, when I thought, my God, you did what you said you were going to do. It's like my husband was standing right there in front of me with gloss in his eyes, like, come on, baby. And
we've
been together ever since.
Wow. Okay. Now, all that, you have all that. And you said, when was your aha moment when you said, okay, God, when God said, okay, Ms. Robinson, you went through all that in order for you to do what you're doing. When did that happen in your life? When you were like, okay, I can't sit on this. There are other young ladies or other young people out there who is actually need this help. Tell me about that, where you are today. And how you plan, like you gave us and told us what it is that you're doing. But what I want the listeners to know is we know where you came from, and you stated what you're doing. Now we want you to tell the world how you took all that and you made it into a testimony. And it's a testimony, and now you're giving back to the community. That's what we need to hear now. And I know you're going to tell us, and we're going to be like, whoa, yes, let's get it started.
Yes, ma'am. So it began in actually March of this year. I only have a GED. I don't have a degree, but I was offered a position of an executive vice president of a marketing firm because of the favor and the skill and the ability that he has given me over the course of the years. See, I don't have an education, but I absolutely know how to manage. I absolutely have vision. And it's just a matter of God putting those people into your life that doesn't care about tradition, you know, that's not so concerned with what it looks like, but what it really is. And when I got the opportunity to be the executive vice president, I took that very serious. I wanted to create a culture, a corporate culture that's not what we're used to. Because corporate America, it's really not easy to excel the right way. You know, there's competition, there's manipulation, there's backbiting, there's jealousy. But all of that comes from the top because the leadership doesn't stand the way that they should with God. They are building organizations that really exhaust the people. And that's how you get less productivity out of your people when you're not treating them right. I really wanted to do what was right. But the CEO of the company, and I should mention that I'm a seer. I've been a dreamer since I was a child. The very first dream I ever recall having was of Jesus Christ himself. The second dream that I had was of the end of the world. And ever since then, he has been showing me things. And when I began to work for this CEO, God began to give me intense dreams that would make me wake up like, God, what are you telling me? What is going on? And he was telling me to pay attention. You see, I had a dream about me and my husband standing outside of our house and robbers being inside of our house boxing up all of our belongings. I mean, girl, they had everything. They took everything we had and nicely put them in the boxes and had a truck outside in the front ready to load it up. Now, my husband and I in this dream were standing across the street watching them inside of our home, and we didn't do anything. We didn't say anything. We're watching, but something inside of that house caused them to get scared, and they ran up out of there without anything. They didn't take any of our belongings. But what they did do was they went two doors down to the next house and robbed them people blind, took everything.
Oh, my God.
And when I woke up the next day, I knew what God was telling me about the CEO because people had been coming into my life telling me about the money issues that they had been having with him. And I had begun to notice some things. And so then I'm like, okay, God, I've accepted this position. I was an equity partner, so it wasn't salary. Mm. And, you know, when you have equity in a thing, you work.
Yeah. That's true.
You put in the work for it to make that equity count for something. That's ownership. And so at this point, I'm like, well, God, what do you want me to do? I thought this is what you wanted me to do. But God was like, no, you have to let that go. You know, in Proverbs, it tells us we cannot drink from the same cup of a wicked man. So it doesn't matter what the opportunity may look like. This is not what I want you to do. So I had to quit. The day that I left that company, well, the next day I left the company, a prophet found me from Africa, as a matter of fact. Now, I am very careful about prophets because everyone and anyone can call themselves that. That's just the world
that
we live in.
That's so
because of the way that God had been dealing with me for the weeks on up, I had been expecting a word from him. I knew that he was sending someone to me. So when I looked at my Facebook and I seen this prophet give me a friend request with an African name, I thought, God, surely this is you. So I accepted the friend request, and I immediately inboxed him first. I said, do you have something to say to me? He said, yes, woman of God. Listen, I wasn't going to wait for him to message me.
Right.
He said, yes, woman of God. And he sent me a very thorough inbox confirming everything that I've ever been through in my life and every promise that God has ever told me, but said that this would be the year that I would have my successful business. You see, my entire life, prophets have been finding me, telling me that I would have a successful business, that I would be a successful business owner, that me and my husband will travel to Africa, that we will provide. But nobody's ever said when, and we've been waiting on the Lord. But see, this one came and said, it's this year. This is the year that God has called. And so he said, you got to figure out what you want to do for God to bless. Whatever you decide to do, God will bless it. So my husband and I began to brainstorm. Well, what do we want to do? I've never been the kind of person that just wants to do something to make money. That doesn't make me feel good. I know what it's like to make good money, but that's not what makes me happy. It's good to be comfortable, but if what I'm doing isn't making a difference, then I'll get bored. I won't want to do it for long. And so we really dug deep on what we can do to build something that's going to affect the community. And we start to brainstorm on my experiences and where I have been, and that's really where she – virtue has come from. So this is an opportunity for me to pour into women those things that God himself has been pouring into me through every trial in my life. I don't look or sound like what I have been through, but my testimony is real. But if God would bring me through it, surely he will bring anyone else through it that would truly believe on him. You see, we're growing up in a generation where people...
I want to ask you this. What will the Mrs. Robinson, Ms. Shekinah, with now the virtual woman of God, the woman who's out there making a difference in the community, the woman who's assisting and guiding and helping, what would this Ms. Robinson say to the younger Ms. Robinson? And I want you to go to the many days and the many nights that you didn't think that you was going to make it, and the many days and the many nights where you had to find something to eat and find a place, you know, to stay. What will you tell her?
That is such a good question. I would tell her that it's worth it. I would tell her that you're hungry today, the abundance will be here tomorrow. I would tell her that you can't bring somebody through hell unless you've been there yourself. I would remind her that the anointing comes with a cost.
Okay. And now what do you have to tell the young people, the younger listeners that we have on here today who's going through something? Give them some resources. Tell them what they can and can't do. Tell them how you were able to find these places, who to stay away from, so forth and so on. But let's start with you letting the listeners know. And there are some listeners out there in their 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, let's just be real. Age has no limit when it comes to trial and tribulation. So tell them what are some of the resources that helped you, and where should they go? And needless to say, where should they, why, where they shouldn't go?
So we'll break it down. If you're looking for work right now, if you're out of work, if you've lost a job, you've never had a job, you need some income coming in for whatever reason, I would recommend that you find call centers that are in your area.
Call centers in Colorado, West Marketing, AT&T.
And, you know, call centers are all around the United States. That's how I've traveled.
Yes, they are.
Call centers will pay you anywhere from $9 to $10 an hour. If you want to do customer service, it'll be about $9. If you do sales, it's $10. But the good thing about sales is if you get good at it, you can turn that into $15 or $20 an hour.
That's
because
true.
They pay you commission.
That's true.
So
that's
if you are in a tough spot right now, I recommend that you get on CareerBuilder, go on Craigslist, but be very mindful of Craigslist. If you don't have discernment, if you can't see whether someone is running game or not, stay away from Craigslist. I will say that. But if you do have discernment and you know how to maneuver through that stuff, then it can be a good resource. But there's LinkedIn. Get on any job board that you can think of and start looking for sales positions. Because anyone can get a sales job, anyone, even if you have a felony. You may
have to
interview a little bit more. Some of them might turn you away because you have a felony, but not all of them. I have worked with plenty of people who were just out of prison and we're making a good living in a call center. So don't think that whatever your situation is, you can't be employable. Now, I would also recommend that if you're going to go into the sales route, get good at it. Communicate. If you don't like to enunciate your words, you got to knock that off. The people on the other end of the phone need to clearly be able to know what you're talking about, and your confidence has to be there when you're talking to them.
That's not to
say that you have to be confident tomorrow, because I wasn't confident many days when I was working in call centers. But when I was talking on the phone to those people, I presented myself like I was the CEO of the company. I was like an actress.
I worked at West Marketing, and I also worked at AT&T by Garden of the Gods. I don't know if they're still there. And also when MCI was there, and
that was my first sales job, MCI up on Garden of the Gods.
And you're right. Your checks could be very pretty, and they promote within. And they don't promote based on nationality. They don't promote based on who you know. They promote based on numbers. Numbers and call quality. And
that's
we
right.
were making some pretty good money, and we were only like 20-something years old, me and both my sisters ran
yes.
through it. So,
yes.
yeah, that is that's
that.
Some good advice. Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
when it comes
go ahead.
To your website and your fan pages to help these young ladies and help these young
yeah.
men, I would suggest that you place this on your page today. And tag John and I on it and Uplifting Community so they can have a place to go, because I'm pretty sure they're trying to write all this down. And
yeah.
it's when we go by really fast. But I think that because of your story and your testimony and what you're doing in the communities right now, let them give it to them. You know, just give it to them today. Just give it to
That's
them.
That's perfect. I will absolutely. I will load that up today, and then as soon as I get it done, I'll get you guys tagged into it. But that's good. So I'll put specific places where you can go to find the work and different tools and interview techniques, things that you want to say to get in the door to make sure they tell you yes. I'll run
okay.
through it all.
Awesome. So John, hello.
Yeah,
I
I'm
say
right
hello
here.
Like that. Do we have any callers?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, guys, remember, I
we
know you're on there
people,
and you're listening in.
We got people listening in, but no one pressed to where as though, you know, they want to say anything or elaborate. So
I mean, it's so powerful. So they're
mm-hmm.
probably like, no, we just want to suck this in with Ms. Robinson today. But, guys, we would really like to hear what you have to say. So please press 1 and ask her a question. Ask her, you know, about those many nights that she was out there and days that she was out there as a teenager. And, you know, and how she met her husband in church. And, you know, she's always been faithful to God and her journey to where she is today. Now, Ms. Robinson, you and your husband have been married for how many years now?
It has been, it'll be 4 years in September.
Still newlyweds. And you guys have how
yes.
many children together?
We have 3 children. I've been pregnant every year.
It's love. It's love. Get
yes.
it out the way, Mr. Robinson. Get it out the way. This is my wife.
Yes.
I told you, I have a feeling he was like, this is my wife. My baby's been through a lot. God, let's do this. And let's all that love that she didn't receive and
yes.
all that love that she desire and have, let's make sure
yes.
that she receives it. Now, you have boys
yes.
or girls?
We have 2 daughters and a son. So our oldest is Isabella. She's 3. Our middle child is Elizabeth. She's 1. And then our youngest son, Azariah, he's 1 as well. We delivered him 5 months early. So him and his sister share the same age for a few months.
Oh, wow. I have a sister like that. So what do you have coming up that you can have these people go to and support you when it comes to you and your business? You said you have Chic
yes.
Lavelle, or just Chic? Okay.
It's just Chic. So C
okay.
as in cat, H-I, C as in cat, virtue, V as in Victor, I-R, T as in Thomas, U-R-E.com. And I would just recommend that you guys go over to chicvirtue.com. I have guest bloggers lined up. So the idea is to bring a community of powerful women to share their tips, be it in business or relationship or wisdom or recipes, and we can all learn from them. So we posted one of our guest bloggers yesterday, and her blog is about how to become a virtual assistant. And that's
oh,
not
wow.
a world that everybody knows about, but it's a world. I stumbled into it when I was in Atlanta.
That.
And these women are making 6 figures from home, honey. And those who turn it into a firm are making 7 figures. And so
oh, wow.
That's a blog worth taking a look at. Anyone can become a virtual assistant. You just got to figure out what your skill set is and package it. And
right.
I'm probably going to be putting some classes together so that we can walk through it. But just stay tuned with Chic Virtue. Go sign up. Go subscribe. Put your email in so that you can get updates in every time we put up a new blog, because I am really seeking women that can give those golden nuggets that you can take and really change your life with and add to it and just be better, be stronger.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hey,
John.
I wanted to ask
yes?
you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I just really love what you was talking about. I mean, that
Thanks.
Is so powerful, and all what you done been through and you done overcame these things. Now, let's get back to the communities, about uplifting the communities. Okay, if you, what do you see that, you know, that's needed in the communities that can help? What do you see into the poor, you know, that's needed in the poor communities that can make a difference?
Well, that scripture when God says, if those who are called by my name shall humble themselves.
Mm.
You see, we try to do everything but put God first.
Uh-huh.
And we as a people, we're scattered, and we have been scattered for so long. And when we have these activists that are a part of the NAACP or what have you, they're so politically correct that they're not right for us.
Right.
It's not about what's really going on with us. It's about, you know, whatever is popular at the time. But as a community, we have to start praying for one another. We have to start praying that God would intervene for us, because this is not something that we're ever going to do by ourselves. That's why we're in this situation, because we're not putting God first. But as you see your sister and your brother struggling, and you're struggling, and we're corporately praying for God to intervene for us as a people, as a nation, then when can we can see breakthrough. Right? Then we can begin to love each other to where we don't mind going to spend money with each other, because we don't even want to spend money with each other right now.
Right.
And if we're not willing to spend money with each other right now, how can we change anything financially? We give everything to Babylon. And
that's
then
right.
We're looking crazy when we don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a conditioning. It is a generational curse that only God can break. And so while we're listening to all this crazy music and watching the Real Housewives of this and that, what are we doing for our spirit?
That's
when was
true.
The last time we picked up that word of God to know who we are? Because we're not operating like we're a royal priesthood. That's not how we're thinking. That's not how we're standing. That's not how we're walking. So that's why we're not being treated that way. We have to remember our first love, which is God, because everything else is secondary.
That's true. So to piggyback on what John asked you, you are in Alabama right now. Correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You and your family. Do you have anything, or are you and your husband or the church have anything that you would like to talk about or announce when it comes to something that would help the teens and help them in areas to guide them in the right way, needless to say, with God?
That's a great question. We're actually working on a separate business that's called Grace Intellect. I am building our business plan now, but Grace Intellect is for the youth, because what I'm noticing is a lot of kids, when they get out of high school, they're not employable because they don't have the tools. They don't know how to market themselves. They don't know how to speak to business owners. They don't know how to dress. They don't know what to say. They don't know what not to say. They don't know how to follow up. So I'm creating curriculum that is very unique. So it'll be like acting, because I took some acting classes to help with my communication. It was really fun. And so I want to incorporate the acting. So instead of just reading a script, you know, the kids will act it out. One's the business owner, one is the applicant, different things like that, so that they can get an idea of how to conduct themselves. But not only that, giving them the specific tools. Like I'm telling you, if I needed a job tomorrow, girl, I'm gonna find it. So I'm gonna take all of all the years that I have been able to do that, I'm gonna put it in a system that I can hand to these kids, so that no matter what happens in their life, no matter what type of recession or repression is going on, they can always go find work. Always.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I know that you and I plan on doing some things together. But
yes.
I need you to give your Facebook page, your social media pages, and if you have any numbers or anything to these businesses and organizations where someone can reach out to you, because I feel like no one's saying anything right now, because I try to make sure that the bios that I receive, though, they really get the gist of who's going to be on the show today. And even though we cannot identify them based on, you know, voice sometimes, I feel as though that they're just listening in, because they definitely want to hear your story. So, again, that's why we have you here. So what I need you to do is, you gave me a web, give the name of your church again. you know, for people who are living in your city, because we don't just have Louisiana listening in. We have people from all over listening in. And also give your social media pages names to our listeners as well.
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at Chic Virtue. My Facebook is Chic Virtue. Pretty much any social media that you can think of would be Chic Virtue. As far as a church is concerned, my husband and I, we worship from home right now because God hasn't sent us to a place. The only time that God has sent us into a church during this last season of our life was to pray for it, not to worship there continually. So I would say for those of you that are in Alabama or wherever you are, if you're looking for a church home and you can't find a church home, continue to pray to God, but don't let your relationship with God die. Like, you still can read your word. You know, you still praise God. You still worship God. God will still give you revelation. Grab a neighbor. Grab two neighbors. Grab some girlfriends and have some tea and do a Bible study. Those are the things that we can do, because a lot of time what's going on inside of the church doesn't have any power. And what we're looking for is power.
That's a whole other phone call. That's a whole other radio talk show interview.
Yes. Yes.
That's a whole
other
one. Don't you open up that book at the end of this show. Don't you do it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You got not today, Miss Robinson. Oh, no, don't you do it.
I'm sorry.
On the show for another 30, 40 minutes. But we get it. And it's not to take away from going to church, because me, myself, personally, I go to church, but I go once a week, and I go on Wednesday nights because I feel as though Wednesday nights is a better time for me. I don't feel the need to get up on Sunday and go, because that's just me. That's my walk with God. That's my journey with Him. That's my process. So not everybody has the same process. Not everybody has that same journey. So I totally understand. Now, John, do you have any more questions for Miss? I'm saying Miss Robinson, because I'm not even going to murder your name for that.
Miss Robinson is really telling it like it is.
I will murder
but
her name. I forgot it that fast.
Hey, but you know one thing, Miss Robinson, I heard you was talking about prayer and pray, you know, but I always tell people you can pray all you want, you know, just pray, just hear me out. You can pray all you want, but prayer without works mean nothing.
It's dead, yes.
It's dead.
Yes.
It's dead.
Faith without action.
Okay,
yes.
I mean, you know, like God send people in your life.
That's
and
right.
He sent people in your life for a reason. But you
That's
got to
right.
be able to recognize who's good and who's not good. Because there's good people and there's bad people. They got people got good intention. They got people have bad intentions.
That's true.
You know?
And then there's people like me, guys, with clear intentions. I have it on my social media pages. My picture is clear intentions. But go on, John. I just had to throw that in there.
You know,
I have clear intentions. I'm
and
sorry, go ahead.
I really do believe, you know, that, like, for example, a lot of people talk about, you know, well, you know, stay away from here, stay away from there, stay away from there. And, like, what I read when I read the Bible, the way I get it, well, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he didn't stay away from the bad people. He went to them.
Right.
You know,
right.
he went to them. And tried to preach the goodness of God. And
yes,
so we can, you know, and so we can, you know, wherever we be, that's just me. You know, the way I see it, the way God let me see it, you can be anywhere as long as you given the good word of God.
Yes.
Okay, so, and you can pray till you're blue in the face, but if you have no works with it, you understand, nothing going to get done. You know, like, for example, I look at this talk show, Uplifting Communities, and few other things that I've did. All of that stuff is inspired by God.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Right, and I went out and tried to get godly people to work, so I can fall back on, because I'm a human being, and I get weak sometimes, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kind of crazy stuff be going through my mind.
Well, I need you to get it together, John.
Huh? You know,
I understand.
You know what they know? But the good part about it is that I don't act on it.
Yes.
But it just goes to show me, you understand, that, hey, you know, I got to stay on top, you know, up top of what I do. You know,
yes.
I got to stay with God. I got to make sure that God is first, you know,
yes.
in my life. You know, because if we don't, you understand, I think God put through things through in people's head, you understand, so that way that they can realize that he still is in control no matter what situations you in. Like, for
That's
example,
right.
you came through a lot. You
yes,
went through
did.
A lot, young lady. I'm talking about a lot. And for you to pull through all of that you went through is a miracle.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, God.
You know? It's a miracle, you know, and it just, you know, it makes me stronger to hear, you know, you went through that, you know, mm-hmm. and pulled through it, you know, and it makes mm-hmm. me stronger, you know.
Yes, it does.
But anyway, that's all I have to say, you know.
Wow.
But, Carla, we only got 3 minutes left before we
the
show is over with, you know, so you can start closing out.
Wow, that time flew by. And
yes,
I want to say thank you so very much again coming on our show today and sharing your story, your testimony, your purpose, your journey, your faith, your process. I need you to understand that you definitely blessed me, and I know you blessed the thousands of listeners that we have listening in on today. And I want to let you guys know out there in Radio Land, if you have any kind of anything that you're going through today, understand God got you. He's carrying you through it. He's right there with you. You need to understand that all you have to do is just keep moving forward with faith and prayer and action. If this young lady can make it, then so can you. So, again, we thank you, Miss Shakina. Shakina, she just messed it up. That's just not cool. Miss Shakina Robinson, we thank you for coming on Uplifting Community
yes.
Talk Show, Louisiana,
you.
With your host, Carla Serenity, and our guest host, Mr. John Errol Brown. And don't forget to tune in next Saturday, everyone. We have another amazing guest just for you. And please make sure you check out all of her social media pages and also her website. So this is your girl, Carla Serenity. And remember, let our voice be your voice and get heard. Have a good day.
Awesome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good day.